train. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Welcome back to Stunt Cranny Audio, the first post-WrestleMania edition. This is Jeremy. Kevin's with me this time, because you read the write-up, so, you know.
What's up, kids?
Yeah. So, busy week. You know, since we got back, it's been pretty much nonstop news this week, starting over the weekend with Scott Hall. Monday, I know you wanted to talk about M-Dog Matt Cross getting booted off Tough Enough. Old show favorite and one-time interview subject, Larry Sweeney, passed away. And some of the details that have come out pretty bad. Then Monday night, Edge retires. So we got all sorts of stuff to talk about. I don't know what you feel like getting into. So I'll let you lead off. I figure, why waste time? Let's just get into it.
Well, which one happened first? Which what one did you list first there? Let's just
Scott Hall was the one that happened first.
So, yeah, I mean, that did happen first, but
it happened Saturday night, I believe it was.
You know, what else can you say, really? The dude obviously is not good at not taking drugs and or alcohol. Well, how many times has he been to WWE-sponsored rehab now? Twice?
Yeah, I think so. And then he wants to go back, but apparently what's coming out from some of the people is they don't want to send him because, you know, it's not working, so they want to send him somewhere else. But
yeah,
he apparently wants to go there, so I got to figure there's something not kosher at that place. You know, guy's a little hit list, or not hit list, but he's able to get stuff inside. That's what I'm looking for. So, that's the only thing I can think of. Of why would you want to go back to the same rehab place that doesn't work?
Oh, yeah. Do they always send them? They probably don't send them to the same place, do they?
Apparently, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently from the article I was reading. It is the same place. Well, he's requesting the same place.
Yeah, no, that would be dumb to the nth degree.
Yeah.
If they did that. So, yeah, I mean, if they do it, it really should be at a different facility.
Yeah, and
yeah, it hasn't worked twice so far.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it seems to work, but I guess another problem, and I'm getting a lot of this is from Jason Powell's report on Jason from Jason Powell. He actually had an interview, or not an interview, but he had a phone conversation with PJ Polanco, you know, Justin Credible, Sean Waltman, and Polanco, and everyone seems to agree that he has no support structure once he gets out, which is important for someone who's trying to overcome addictions. I mean, basically you get, you know, you're supposedly healed after a few months, but then you come out and there's just, you know, the same assholes come out and say, hey, you want this instead? You know, trying to make money, so.
Yeah, hey, come out and take a bump. Oh, this hurts. I need drugs.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, not even that. Oh, I thought you meant like a bump. No, yeah, that too. Yeah, no, I mean, that's how it works. You get away. That's why like, all these rock guys have their handlers just to ward off these guys backstage.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was Red, what was it, Nikki Sixx's, The Heroin Diaries. And he was talking about how they had drug dealers would actually drive to the cities. They knew the tour schedule, so they just drive to the cities and be there to hook them up whenever they wanted. And he was saying he supported, like, I mean, he basically just supported one guy the entire time. So.
Wow. Yeah, that, not shocking, but still yeah. The first time I've heard it.
Yeah, I mean, that was actually a very interesting read, because it was supposedly his diary, and then whatever he was talking about at the time, it would intersplice, like, current, not conversation, what am I looking for, current comments from, like, the subjects and all that. So it was a cool read, quick read, too, which was nice. But, yeah, no, I posted something on the site, I think it was Sunday, maybe. Okay. The guy's a goddamn mess, and people are mad at the promoter. And sorry, I forgot we were even talking about this, so I don't have anything pulled up about it. People are mad at the promoter for putting him out there. And I guess sure, you're allowed to be mad at the promoter, but does it surprise you? Does it in any way give you, like, pause? Like, I can't believe he did this. It's just despicable. It's fucking, it's independent wrestling. What do you want?
Yeah, and he's not in charge of Scott Hall. And if Scott Hall's one saying, no, I'm fine, I can go out there and do this.
Yeah.
Go make an ass out of yourself in front of the camera and get me some publicity then. Fuck you.
Yeah, well, yeah, there is that part of it where you were hired to do a job. And, you know, apparently he was in the hospital earlier that week for something, you know. So when he showed up at the – you can kind of see it. He still had the bracelet from the hospital on. So – and then he apparently came in with, like, a bunch of bottles of pills, like prescription pills too. And it's – okay. There is that obligation to the – that – I guess there is a certain obligation to that employer to go, you know, this guy's a disaster. But he has an investment made as well. So it's not cut and dry. And don't give me this crap about, well, he should be looking out for his safety. He's not looking out for his own safety. I mean,
he's an independent contractor.
In every sense in this one, he is, yeah. Not like WWE's version of it.
Right, yeah, no, yeah. I mean, he really is. Yeah. The only thing that he really could have done was just not hire him in the first place to make that appearance.
That
really is the only, to me, that's the only thing that you should be, that you have an option of being mad at the promoter for.
Right. Yeah, see, okay, but
everything
then there's
beyond
also...
beyond that is fair game in my book.
But then there's also those rubes out there who, they see Scott Hall. Do you think they're going to see Scott Hall or going to see, hopefully, Jake the Snake Scott Hall? I mean, these tiny shows like this are the guys that are the internet crowd. They only know about these because of the internet, because these things don't get promotion. So it's this high and mighty attitude that is actually driving the anger in this one. And that's when you brought that up, like, you know, Scott Hall's a goddamn adult.
It has been for quite some time.
Yeah. I mean, I know he's an addict, whether, you know, they want to admit it or not, because his agent was saying that he was getting over another bout with pneumonia from last year. Like, I've had pneumonia before. It doesn't take a year to get rid of. It just doesn't. But no, I don't know. This is one of those arguments that, Not cyclical. What am I looking for? Where there, it's just never ending.
Cyclical works. I mean,
okay. Well,
that's what you really wanted to look for, but it works.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Well, he shouldn't have been doing drugs. Well, he's an addict. He's going to do drugs. Okay. Neither side. I mean, both sides have a point, but neither side's right. I mean.
Yeah.
It's just banging your head into concrete for nothing, really.
Not even a little bit of something.
Yeah. I mean, and PJ Polanco even said he got hired to babysit Scott Hall.
Yeah, why didn't Polanco babysit Scott Hall?
So why didn't Polanco go, no? I mean, I know it's a friend, but, you know, and that's what I said in the post. I said, I mean, when's someone going to finally just stand up and just, you know, after a while, you have to cut these guys out of your life. It's one way of trying to get through to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. If you've never dealt with an addict before, it's never fun, and these are just the awful steps. So, you know, I don't know. I'm talking all over you right now, but I totally just. Well, I just totally. Well, I just totally agree with you on this. That, you know, Scott Hall didn't need to do all that. So.
Nope.
Or you went no show the fucking event, and he was apparently clear headed enough to ask for his money up front too.
Oh man, yeah, I guess I forgot about that part.
Yeah, and apparently he was dropping the money. The guy gave $500 cash or whatever. He was dropping his money, so they kept having to pick it up and hand it back to him.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, all signs say no, you shouldn't have put it out there, but at the same time, you know what? I paid for him to show up. I paid him to do this. So you know what? Yeah, I'm going to exploit you. I'm going to make some money.
Yeah, and honestly, how much money did that guy make on a free YouTube video?
Well, apparently they're going to try and sell it. Yeah, that's the big problem, is that footage got out. So there's no need to buy the DVD now.
Yeah.
That he's probably going to try and hawk. I mean,
yeah, I mean, that guy, because honestly, after you've seen it once, is there anything else at that event that you really wanted to see?
I don't even know what the hell else was on that event.
Yeah, exactly. So no.
Yeah, just the funniest sad part of that video was when Hall takes a punch to the face, and he just falls. He doesn't even put his hands down or anything, and it's like, wait a minute, this guy's really destroyed right now. And then you kind of laugh, but then you kind of pull back like, oh God, he's a mess. But also, doesn't this get filed under, I'm not surprised, because Jake the Snake retired, so someone needed to take his place.
Exactly.
Yeah. It would have been better if he would have taken like his Razor Ramon chains and started like masturbating those like Jake did with the snake and all that.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been completely unnecessary.
Yeah, just sad. The guy's got a mind, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone can, and I guess that's the other thing that's just almost gets tiring. It's just like people keep on saying the same things about him. He had a great mind for wrestling. Well, whatever. Jake Roberts was great at wrestling too, but now he's a fucking mess. Deal with it. Just stop. Like, I'm tired. Like, I just can't handle it anymore.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. That's for sure. So that's why I didn't even make any jokes in the post. I was like, I don't have any. It's sad, but at the same time, it's just infuriating. Like, this keeps happening. It shouldn't be a surprise. So.
Oh, yeah, and nobody should be upset about it. Like, I don't know how you can be upset about something that, you know, it's just like, oh, the sun came up today. Fuck the sun, man!
Yeah.
Okay, dude, whatever your problem is.
Yeah. God. All right, well, let's move on to something else.
That's good. We've probably gone about 5 minutes too long on that anyway.
Probably went about 15 minutes, and we've only recorded 13 minutes. All right, so let's talk about Tough Enough then. especially, well, because the only reason I want to talk about Tough Enough is this is something that's, you know, up your alley.
Yeah.
Because you cover him weekly, I'd say. If not weekly, at least, you know, four times a month for their television.
Yeah, well, Matt Cross, really, he wasn't on Pro Wrestling Ohio that much, even from the beginning. Now, I don't know if he had a legitimate injury in the first season, but he's also been one that the guy has, well, and I don't know how, because I didn't end up watching the first episode at all, so I'm not sure how much of his history he filled in, other than saying that he's been wrestling for 9 years. Which seemed to be the only point they brought up on this past episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the guy's had booking all over the place. Japan, Mexico, He went on Hulk Hogan's tour
back in
Australia. So, I mean, the guy has been around in quite a number of events. So, I mean, he didn't always show up in Pro Wrestling Ohio, whether it was from those bookings or it was a legit injury and they kind of needed to write him off. And he came back at the end of the first season, I think. And but he has been definitely more of a regular season two and season three, especially last year, where he ended up taking on Johnny Gargano for the heavyweight title. Oh, shit, yeah, and he ended up winning the world title, or not the world title, the PWO title the first season. Because, you know, I mean, it's your first event, your first kind of WrestleMania-type event, your only, if you wanted to call it a pay-per-view. it isn't on pay-per-view, but they're one big live event. Resolution there. He won the title at the first one, lost it through some shenanigans season two, and then turned heel last year. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I've seen a lot of him the last 2 years, and even into this year, he's been on TV, and he was even booked for the main event of an event that they were calling Pressure Rising. And he was in a four-way match for the PWO title against the megastar Marion Fontaine, Johnny Gargano, who is the champion, and Jason Bayne. And actually, when he got on to Tough Enough, well, A, we reported it because, well, some of my sources inside Pro Wrestling Ohio alerted me to the happenings there. And they weren't sure what it was, but they just knew that he wasn't going to be able to make it to the event, and they just assumed that it was Tough Enough. And then Val Venus was good enough to confirm it for everybody on Twitter. So, I mean, I guess that sets up him maybe a little more roundly than they did on the show. I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm not sure about the first episode there.
Well, we caught some of it, and he, to be honest, he wasn't one of the featured guys. He was there, I can't remember, unfortunately, I can't remember what, his actual last name was, but yeah, they mentioned he's been around on the indies and this, and, you know, been doing this 9 years. So, you know, so it gave you, I don't know if they did that on purpose to manipulate you to go, okay, this guy's one of the favorites. We got to keep our eye on him just to pull the rug out from under you in the second season so they can sit there and go, see, anything's going to happen on Tough Enough, you know, one of those sort of things.
Yeah.
But we discussed before, he's so small that he didn't, I mean, I could never see him winning, a WWE contract to begin with. I mean, if it's 9 years, don't you think someone would have seen him already? And I'm not trying to be rude about this.
Yeah, no. Well, there were a couple of points I was going to bring up, and I mean, I've even kind of reached out to him to see if we could get an interview, with no success yet. But I even did, they were doing, they had a couple of bad snow-related events up there. Like, I think they wanted to record that Pressure Rising earlier. I think that was the second event that was canceled. There was another event that was canceled because of some big honking, like, you know, a foot and a half of snow got dropped on them the day that they were going to record the event.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, we're canceling this. So they ended up having to do these PWO profiles. And I happened to get around to doing that. And the one thing I ended up saying is, I don't know if he had, you know, enough personality to make it in the WWE. And that honestly was exactly what Trish was saying during the whole thing, that they wanted to see more out of him. And it wasn't from I don't think it was from a technical standpoint. He's great technically, and the guy was literally, no joke, he was an alternate to the U.S. Olympic team. Like, he's a legit athlete. Like, there's no two ways around it. And they actually, during the PWO profile, they showed him doing, I don't know, it seems to be, Morrison always says parkour. Is that usually that free running or whatever the hell?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he did some of that. Like, he climbed up a light post. You know, he was doing some crazy stuff. And even last year at Resolution, he climbed up. They have kind of a canopy covering the ring there at Nautica Pavilion. And I'm not sure if that's actually its name now or not. That's just what you and I know it has from going to concerts up in
Cleveland. Yeah, they probably changed it to something else.
Yeah. Well, they had poles there, and during his match against Johnny Gargano, he climbed up one of those in the middle of the match and came down with it ended up kind of looking like Morrison's splash off the top of the Elimination Chamber this year. Granted, he did it like, 8 months before that, but...
Yeah.
It was the same type of thing where he kind of climbed up the pole and twisted himself to come down and splash Gargano. So, I mean, the guy definitely, he has his abilities, and I think he's a great in-ring wrestler for the most part. But I understood what Trish was saying about just not having enough. And, I mean, she even said it when he came out of the ring that, like, his eye, you know, like, there was nothing in his face. Like, he was just doing move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does that extremely well. I'm never going to argue with that. But, yeah, and it almost kind of goes with Eric's post about the WWE language. They are entertainment, and if you can't get that aspect out of the entertainment, then you're missing part of the equation.
Yeah. Okay. Just since you're on that vibe, didn't they say the same thing about Chris Benoit, though, that he would wrestle in a vacuum?
I always
thought... It was just him in the ring. It was just him and the opponent. He never played to the crowd, never showed much.
Well, I guess to me, like, he did enough that he was always there. Like, to me, he always had, whether he was on offense or defense, like, you could tell that he was either receiving pain or giving pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I even think that sometimes even that aspect, I guess that's the selling. Like, I guess there really isn't enough selling in his face.
Okay.
In those moments.
All right.
And I think Benoit did that, and he didn't. And even though Benoit didn't play to the crowd, like, he kind of, it was kind of that it thing to him.
Yeah,
you
wow.
know, and plus.
Well, yeah, it sure was.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, even little things, like people, the whole neck cutting thing and giving the snot rocket out of Benoit was always one of those things, just like, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's disgusting.
Okay, well, see, like, they had... All right,
that is
criticism...
little stuff to me that... a lot of people might not like it, but to me, that still shows some personality.
Well, see, a lot of that criticism was pre-WWE. So then when he got there, they worked... And this is kind of where I'm going with this.
Okay.
When he got there, it took a while, but he started showing. I remember there was one... Was it a ladder match between him and Chris Jericho? It looked like he legitimately hurt his arm. And everyone was like, oh, no, he really hurt his arm. Wow, what a trooper, blah, 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 blah. Well, it turns out he was just selling it the whole time. And I guess what I'm getting at is couldn't – and I'll go back to say I never thought he was going to win this anyways. But the idea that they cut him because he didn't show anything when they gave him a chance. Now – Maybe this is my ignorance of this of wrestling, but it just seemed awful harsh that they all came down on him like that. And the subjective way that, you know, Austin would shoot, pick and choose history as well kind of drove me nuts. But we'll get that in a second.
Yeah,
but it just seemed like it was like, well, you had your one chance, gone, and it seemed weird. To where it was almost like WWE management stamp, to where all right, we're giving you this niche. If you don't do something with it, you're fucking gone. And it's, as history's proven with most of their top acts, the first go around doesn't always work out. So you stop and develop and then go with it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that too. Like, cause I don't know if it was, no, that was something else. Someone made a comment on, in either my write-up, my Sunday write-up, or my Raw blog there, on my almost live, definitely half-assed review of Raw, that they thought that it was kind of harsh, and I agree. Like, I don't understand how someone who you've consistently seen as lazy, that Rima Fakar, or whatever, however you pronounce the last name, like, how is laziness more commendable than telling someone, hey, you need to put more personality into your work. You do good work, but you have personality. And the other guy, oh my lord, he is devoid of anything.
All right, this is where I think Tough Enough as a television show works very well. It's a quick hour. Okay, sorry, I had to yell real quick. Yeah, sorry. about fucking time too. It works on this level as where you think they're going somewhere. They're showing all these aspects, but I'm with you. Every aspect they've shown of this Rima chick is that she's lazy. This other guy, when he started crying about his girlfriend, writing letters to her. Sorry, it's not 1980. And yeah, I'm going just to the 80s now. Oh. We have to write letters to chicks from afar.
Yeah, that.
Or hell, 1990. I take that back. We didn't have widespread America Online internet for years still.
Yeah.
So it just seems, and they always say, and this is something that goes into the commercial, what a great stat. First goal of playoffs, of course. It just doesn't seem – that guy, they painted it to where – and this is what all these goofy reality shows do. They painted it to where that guy was gone. And for the shock value of it, they got rid of Matt Cross instead.
Yeah. And even one of the contestants said, and you used the words, I wonder if he's going to get booted just to prove that anybody can – you know, it means that anybody can be booted.
Yeah.
It was one of the guys that they were complimenting a lot, the dark hair. I can't remember any of their names right now.
It doesn't matter if you get to the final three, so fuck them.
So, anywho, yeah, no, I mean, he used those exact words like, oh, I wonder if he's getting bagged on because just to prove to everyone else that anything can happen. And it's, I mean, you've really got to think about that. Like, and I don't think he was going to win anyway because, now that they have, Sin Cara, Mysterio, and Evan Bourne, and this is another thing, like, he does, the Airborne, Matt Cross does, and I've seen him do it, and even with all those accolades, execution-wise, Bourne is better.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is so smooth and gets so much height, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Cross, obviously, if you're executing it, you're not poor. Like, you can't do that and not do it at least well.
Yeah.
You're really going to fuck yourself up or somebody else up if you do that wrong.
I don't know. So I guess from listening to you, you're okay with him being gone, though. It's not that you don't totally disagree with it, or is it just one of those, well, you know, it is what it is?
I'm surprised he's gone this early. I'm not completely surprised that he's gone. But it's hard to say, like, with these other people, too, you know, how good they are. Like, as you've noted, like, they only show you certain parts. You get an hour of television, and how long are these guys, you know, in the ring with the trainers?
Mm-hmm. That's another big thing. They've done a very good job of keeping it interesting by keeping your interest, but also taking it outside the ring so they don't give away too much.
Yeah, no, they've made it more reality showy, and and this kind of leads to things like, I don't understand, like, they're doing cool contests on NXT, or on Tough Enough, and it's almost like, why didn't you do this with NXT? Like,
that,
I don't understand.
Yeah, all right, we'll save that for another conversation, because I thought the same thing, and I think that's actually worth talking about, too.
And that was the, and just another note, like, the PWO asked what, fans thought on Twitter of Cross getting eliminated, and they're like, oh, they should have seen his match against, Johnny Gargano, from Resolution 3, the one that I just, went to this past year.
Yeah.
And it's just like, again, it's the same thing, like, you kind of need, Eric always talks about, how Jerry Lawler could, you know, have an expression so that the person at the top of the rafters would see it.
Right.
And Cross doesn't really have that.
Yeah. I've only seen a handful of his matches, to be honest. I just don't have the time and to go out of my way to find the stuff anymore.
No.
And I agree with you. It's technically very, it's good to watch, but as the big personality, I mean, can you see and this is a really ridiculous thing, but can you see Matt Cross in the Georgia Dome?
Well,
I mean, well, I mean, besides the stands. Oh, yeah, no. Well, no, we didn't see him. We saw him at Phillips Arena. So,
That's right. He did come out. They just came out to Phillips Arena, not the Georgia Dome.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out, this is hindsight, but I thought it was weird when they all came out because he wasn't mingling with the other people at all when they were outside the ring.
Yeah.
He was the last guy to get a beer. He was just kind of standing back, like, yeah, but he wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
So I thought there was something funny, but now I'm trying to figure out if I actually saw that or if I'm just saying that now that he's eliminated.
No, it did seem that way because we saw a lot of the in-house, the little bit that we did watch of the first episode there after we got back to the hotel room from Raw. It didn't seem like he was in too many of those shots. And then this past episode, yeah, he really did. It's like seemed like he was in with a guy writing a letter to his girlfriend.
Yeah, I hope
the dude was texting her or something in the meantime. Like, if he wanted to do that as a above and beyond measure, that's cool. You know, if you're that in love with her, whatever. Especially it's some dumb age, like 21 or whatever he is.
Oh, look at that.
Hey, he didn't punch him from behind, at least.
I think that's how it started, actually. They're going to show the replay here in a second. But yeah, I don't know. Whatever. We spent enough time on that.
And I felt like I needed to set that up as well as good, and that just took a lot of the time up.
Yeah. Well, no, of the four of us, you are the most qualified to talk about it because you've probably seen the most of it. So, you know, I guess we're done with it, but another thing that kind of stands out to me, and maybe...
Go ahead. I have one other comment after yours.
Okay. And one thing, you never saw an outpouring or outcry. It's back when it was in its heyday for Ring of Honor to bring him in.
I have two things then.
Yeah, I mean, you never...
I forgot. Ring of Honor. And then he was on that tour with Hulk Hogan before he signed with, or right when he signed with TNA.
Mm-hmm.
If he was that good, why hasn't Hogan brought him into a lineup that is a lot better size-wise for him to compete against?
That was another thing.
It's
now,
just like, okay, Hogan's had, what, has he been at TNA 2 years now or something?
No, I think it's only been, it's probably a year and a half. I don't think it's been full 2 years.
Okay.
Of course, I could be totally wrong, too. So.
Yeah, no, and I don't feel like checking it out. But, I mean, he's been in there long enough that there's no way that Cross couldn't go, oh. Or, and they can't claim... ignorance of Pro Wrestling Ohio, considering that Madison Rain was in Pro Wrestling Ohio, and that's where they got her from. Like, they can't go,
oh, duh, no, we have no idea what it is.
Yeah, they know what the league is.
See, I think that's more, I think that was more of an Eric Bischoff thing. Well, no, I take that back. I think it was not more of an Eric Bischoff thing, but I think when it comes to that talent stuff, I don't believe Hogan knows what the hell's going on. I sincerely don't.
No.
I think he's only worried about who the big names are. Like when they offer this TNA thing, you know, as soon as he got like a roster page, he wanted to see that first. And he saw Nash. He saw Sting. He saw the possibility he could bring Flair in. I'm going to put Jeff Hardy's name in there because, well, he used to make money. You know, those guys, that's what lights Hogan's eyes up. That's where the dollar signs to him come in.
Right.
Not AJ Styles. Sorry, that wasn't one of them. Not Samoa Joe, regardless of what kind of horseshit they try and pull. These aren't the guys that get the name recognition. You know, these aren't the guys that, you know, Hogan gets the dollar signs for. So you're exactly right. Hogan didn't know. I mean, I guess I'm going to say this. Hogan didn't know he was even on the tour, other than saying, hey, good job, kid. You know?
Yeah.
At least that's what that's what you would think, at least. So,
yeah, and the other little aspect, too, is how many of these guys, from the first Tough Enough, second one, third one, however many seasons it originally ran, and these women from the Diva Watch, winning only means you get that first contract. Didn't that woman that got eliminated the first week tweet that she had a contract already?
I didn't hear your question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The woman that got booted the first week, didn't she already tweet that she had
No, she said she will get one.
Oh, she will get one.
Yeah, like, I'm so determined. There's not a chance in hell that chick sniffs WWE, so.
What an awful goal to give up.
No shit, man. No, I mean, it's a great goal. It's mule time, so.
That was horrendous. There's no reason he shouldn't have saved that. His positioning was terrible.
Yeah, well, at least the stars are coming out this period, so.
Anywho, if she didn't say that she has a contract, how many, like, a bunch of people got contracts out of all of these different searches that they've had, and that could possibly be one reason why I haven't heard back from them at all. I'll try to bug them, you know, I'll ask them once or twice more to see if I can't, you know, get an interview with them, but. You know, they could be saying, hey, dude, we're fine. We did do this for TV purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We want you in the fold. We'll send you down to FCW. And that's the end of it. You know, and then he eventually makes an appearance sometime. So, it happens. Like, to act outraged at this point, I think is a little silly.
Yeah, and maybe this is a different topic to bring up, but I think being outraged over what WWE does outside of, like, slashing puppies' throats on TV, it's impossible to get, I mean, it's unnecessary to be outraged.
No.
I mean, I remember being really irritated when they cut Trevor Murdoch. Then he shows up in TNA, and I understand it's TNA, and just laid a giant shit. What's he done since? Well, look at Shelton Benjamin. Yeah, he's in ROH, won the tag titles. Okay.
Yep.
Eric pretty much nailed it when he said, I'm going to paraphrase, I don't remember the exact thing, but WWE knows when they've gotten everything out of somebody, and that's when they let him go. And he was referring to Jeff Hardy at that time.
Yeah.
But no, that's, I mean, I don't think that's a unfair assessment. It's business. And the other part is they always talk about how this is a business. So, hey, it's cutthroat. If you want to make money, you got to do what you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Hence the steroid stuff. So, oh, well. I think that's a different conversation, too. So,
definitely.
I don't know. Do you want somber news or less somber news?
Well, I don't know. Which one do you think is the more somber of the two?
I'm going to say Larry Sweeney dying was the more somber, yeah. All joking aside.
On my part. I mean, yeah, no, that's just a bummer. I didn't read the additional news that you're talking about, so I'm kind of lost in that department, honestly. Yeah. I think I checked the wrestling news this morning, and that's been about it.
All right. Well, I was listening to ONA, I think it was Monday, when they were talking about it. No, Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? When was the last live show they had this week?
Yesterday, yeah,
and Sam was talking about it. And they said that that supposedly or apparently, allegedly, whatever words that won't get us in trouble, that he hung himself at a wrestling school. If that's not a harsh introduction to the wrestling business for those kids, if that's the case, you know.
Right. Yes,
that's just wow. I remember him saying that, and I was going into the gym, and I was just like, you know, it was already sad enough, because, I mean, for any of the people who are new, we used to do a style show like this for Pro Wrestling Torch, called The Audio Experience, and we would go to WrestleMania, we'd always set up an interview with one wrestler, someone we chose, you know, and the last interview we've done with a wrestler now was Larry Sweeney. And it's not like we knew the guy. He wasn't an inside source, whatever. It was just a cool guy we met for a half hour back in 2008?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2008.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This one was just weird to me, having met him, having exchanged, you know, pleasantries, contacts, whatever. I hit on him during the interview. That was fun. he actually did a bumper for us. Which I'm trying to cut the music out of the background, but I might just add it on to the beginning of the audio or at the end of the audio. So you can stick around after we're done talking. I'll add it at the end. But he was really cordial. He was cool. It didn't seem like we were taking up his time. He had like a genuine, like that look in his eye. Now, whatever that look in his eye was from, you know, I don't know, but it sure seemed to be excitement and happiness about what he was doing.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you didn't come in the room with us. That's right.
No, it was just you and Eric.
That's right.
Yeah, no, it was me and Bitch Whore waiting around for you two.
Yeah. But, well, you got to meet him, didn't you?
Yeah, no. He was really nice. Because, okay. Yeah, they were doing the signing at the Highline.
Yes. And Eric was trying not to go over and act like a creep with Lacey. He's like, there she is. Well, go fucking say something, creepo. God damn. Just walk over and say hello. But no, so I guess, you know, there's been a lot of wrestler deaths. A lot of them, you know, the Chris Benoit thing was especially hard to take just because of the circumstances. But this one was like, just like, are you serious? Even knowing the problems he's had the last couple of years didn't make it any easier. That's for damn sure.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it kind of sucked to actually meet some, you know, to have at least met someone that is on that list that is all too long.
Yeah, and being as old as I am, 37, I didn't realize I'm 8 years older than he is.
Yeah, that was the other
thing.
Because I was sitting there doing the same thing. I'm like, oh, my Lord, I'm 6 years older than him? Like, I've lived six more years of life than him now.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to be up on him, but now you really will always be up. I mean, I don't know, it gets into those weird life and death things that I just try not to think about because I'll never go to sleep.
Oh, right.
Dude, I did that the other day, thinking about something retarded. Like, I think it was the planets. And I got to stop reading Joe Rogan's tweets, because that shit is insane. I mean, I think it was him. There was the one about how small our planet is compared to some of these other stars and planets we found.
Yeah.
Did you see that diagram thing?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Anyways.
I don't know. I mean, it's just cool and fascinating. Like, it doesn't make me feel any worse about myself. Like, I mean, it is what it is.
No. And that's what I try to get back to so I can fall asleep. But I just start thinking, like, you got these alien invasion movies, okay? There's clearly going to be something else out there.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not saying they have visited us, but
yeah,
you can't be that arrogant to go, there's nothing else in the universe.
Yeah, the universe is a little too vast for that one.
So I just start thinking, like, all right, so what if they do show up one day and they're the size of the Eiffel Tower? And there's a whole shitload of them. They can, like, step foot in the ocean and just kind of, like, walk across. And it only takes them, like, a day, maybe, to walk across the ocean or something. This is the stupid shit that keeps me up at night, and at least... I mean, how do we fight against that sort of stuff? If they've got the technology to fly all the way here, if they're that big to begin with, we're doomed. I mean, there's no way we can fight against this stuff. I've thought that, and this is me really cutting out the details. But I mean, if you honestly sit there and think about this stuff.
It makes me wish I hadn't spilled my water because I'm laughing way too hard.
And I think in tune to that was, well, if you got all these other planets out there, and if they have the technology that we do, it's probably amped up. So, like, we can see, like, other planets from afar, but if they're, like, on these giant-ass planets, figuring that proportionately they're way bigger than we are, that means their satellites or telescopes are bigger. So you're looking at a planet going, oh, that's nice. Well, then there's somebody else who's 1,000 times bigger than you looking back out there going, wow, that's pretty cool. And if you think about all the different planets out there, I can't get my head around infinity. I guess that's what the whole problem is. There has to be an end to something somewhere. So.
Alrighty then.
Sorry. I guess that's why I'm not that scared of dying, because just, you know, this shit's got to stop sooner or later. But
yep.
But I don't know how to start.
All because of Larry Sweeney dying. we're talking about how large planets are.
Yes, and the people who inhabit them if they came to Earth. Yeah, but no, I just.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's weird. Just because you met somebody. I mean, I've met plenty of people that have died.
Right.
You know, my fucking family.
Well.
But yeah, this one. Weird.
And I think that maybe Eric's article hinted at it about him bringing back the manager role. You know, it's kind of cool to see something like that in a big promotion. Like, the last manager I can really think of that was that annoying, and wow, was he... He was only supremely annoying because of the whistle, but Bill Alfonso is the only other guy that I can think of, you know, like in between the big managers of our youth there. Boy, he really doesn't want to cover that blocker side of his head, does he?
No.
Oh, yeah, that near side? Fuck it. I can leave it open all night long. Yeah. It would be outstanding.
I agree with you.
I think that's what, to me, made him more interesting is that, you know, he was just so identifiable because he wasn't one of those guys, like, almost even now, like, you know, when it's like, oh, he's an enforcer or something like that. Or even Alex Riley, I guess, would be a good example. It's just like, oh, he's the Keller coordinator of the socks I put on my dick before I fuck chicks or whatever his role is now.
Yeah.
He handles
– he's actually trying to be like a modern-day Paul Ellering where he's, you know, trying to tell you he's handling all of the Mrs. businesses. Business and appointments and appearances and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like trying to say, yes, I'm his manager and publicist, but without saying I'm his manager and publicist.
I don't know why they – well, whatever. I don't understand why they're not cool with the word agent and publicist or something like that. It makes more. They want to be in Hollywood half the time. Sound like Hollywood, right. Motherfucker.
That's exactly it. Especially with this thing about coming out with the terminology you're not allowed to use and whatnot. Agent works way better than manager does.
Yeah. It's so more. I've been arguing right. that for, since we saw him. Honestly, since he was the agent Larry Sweeney, and I've always
exactly liked super it. Agent Larry Sweeney. Yep.
Yeah, and I've always liked that it was, and I think I don't know if he swiped it or not, but is Agent Aaron McGuire. It's just like, okay, yeah, agents, they're everywhere. Like, they're in the news all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scott Boras.
Yeah, like he just had
most famous agents.
He just had a front page story on Yahoo Sports. Yesterday or today, like, is he? He's the most well-known agent, but is he the best one? And it's just like, oh, okay, you know. Like, yeah,
but
I mean,
also,
there are sports stories on major websites about agents.
Yeah, it just to me, it. I don't know. I agreed with Eric saying that he did. Getting back to Sweeney, being super agent Larry Sweeney, and because that's how they got. Remember, I think it was Evan Bourne. Or Matt Seidel back then, he negotiated a contract for Seidel to go to WWE. I mean,
yeah, no,
that was the kind of stuff that was just brilliant. So, and it just it's another one of these Scott Hall situations where it's just his demons. I mean, being bipolar apparently wasn't taking his medicine, and of course this is all the speculation, but you know he talked about this too. It was the worst time of his life. I guess the worst part is, he never had a chance. How can I say it? Not that he never had a chance to make it big, but his chance to make it big got derailed. And I think that was the worst part because I think eventually he could have ended up in WWE or TNA. And I know we hate TNA, whatever, but he could have been making a bigger paycheck, a more substantial one.
Yeah, and he definitely would have. Been more welcome in TNA as opposed to WWE.
Yeah, but I think the problem with TNA is he would have outshined half the talent, personality wise.
No, well, good for him.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean that's supposed to be his job, but
yeah.
It was funny. Chris Hero posted one of some videos of them working out with Bobby Dempsey and that, and you just see it, and you could just see the fire in the eyes.
Yeah, you kind of go back to that thing that you can never qualify, the it factor.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, no, he had that it factor. If somebody disagrees with that, I would check to see how many delusions they're having on a daily basis.
I think Eric and I, of course, went back and listened to the interview we had with him. And the best part of the interview is he starts off in character. And then we slowly start asking him, like, legit questions. And he stays in character enough to where the lines kind of blur. Like, well, wait a minute. Is he being serious here? And I don't know. That's why we like the in-character interviews because they're more fun.
Oh, definitely.
Not to try – you know, trying to get a break character, but also to get real information out of a character is always kind of fun. So, I don't know. That was just fun. But, yeah, it was sad. I mean – 29 years old, you can easily say all he had to do was take his medicine and everything would have been fine, but he burned out really fast, so.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say he had more to give, but, because I once saw Doug Stanhope and he was talking about Greg Giraldo and he goes, you know, how come everyone's, you know, we're all selfish motherfuckers because when someone dies like Greg Giraldo, we don't say he had so much more to give. We always say he has so much more to give. He's like, how selfish? He's like, why don't we ever say he has so much more to get?
Oh.
And I was like, fucker. Didn't actually think of it that way. So I guess in that case, you know, Sweeney, I don't know. I guess that qualifies as one that he had more to get out of life.
Yeah.
Especially only at 29 years old. So.
Definitely.
Yeah. So let's go on to the less somber story, if you will.
Yes.
Still a surprise. Surprising.
This was a surprise in so many ways.
Well, he's been talking for the last year about retiring, though.
Yeah, I know that he has, but as soon as I saw them put it up on Raw or announce something, I was just like, well, they've got to be lying. So I immediately went to .net and said, okay, what do they have set? What dumb thing are they setting up for this? And then when I didn't see any news, and I'm like, okay, this is really strange. And then they kept on harping on it. They're like, possible retirement? And I'm just like, wow, they're really going with this? Like, I honestly didn't think it was going to be real, but then you sent me the text, and I was still behind. Well, I was behind all night with the review.
Yeah.
Not that far behind by the end of it, but... you sent me the, this has got to be fake, right? And I mean, I wasn't even more than a couple of minutes into his speech, and I'm like, there's no way this is fake. Like, there's no way he's crying like this, and it's fake.
Yeah. When they start, it was one point in the speech where he started talking about something, and everyone started saying either thank you, Edge, or they started chanting something. And you could just see all of a sudden he turned red face, his eyes turned red, and I'm like, he's not that good of an actor, is he?
No.
And then Elise was like, I think this is real. And I'm like, whatever. But and it goes back to something about Eric and I, our lunch conversation. They've done this before with so many of these things where I'm retiring, I'm being fired, I'm doing this, that they've got it down pat now where they can manipulate you any way they want. So I don't think it was totally unreasonable to think it was fake.
Well, I guess I did after I just to me, just looking at him and knowing all of their acting abilities, like, I don't even think The Rock could pull that off. I know that he's in the movies now, and so is Austin, but I still don't even think those two are that good. Especially when you've got to do it in front of a live crowd, like, you know, I'm sure actors are great, but they also have how many cracks at it. That's the other thing.
Yeah, and you've also got a director and a coach, too.
Yeah, and so. That's the other thing that I think people fail to mention. I even fail to think about sometimes. Like, oh, maybe I should let up on their acting ability because they've got one chance, and if they don't nail it, I get to shit on them. Where in a movie, like, how many chances does this knucklehead get to become a great actor or actress?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't really care either way, but... You know, I think that sometimes we shit on them more. I guess it got me to thinking that we shit on them more than we need to sometimes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's for sure, yeah. So, I don't know. And as I get that conversation that Eric and I had, that's a new feature for anyone out there. We're trying out. I think it'll stick, but, you know, it's just fun to get into, like, if you want to call it the creative process. What a douchey thing to say.
Yeah.
But no, it was just meant to show people, you know, when we talk about, like, yeah, I was talking to Eric, or you were talking to Dusty, or we actually do that stuff. It's not for show. So, no, we kept talking. I'm like, you know what? In the end of the day, it's going to come down to Friday. And if there's an angle that gets perpetrated on Friday, then it's fake, obviously. Well, I read those spoilers. I mean, I was checking spoilers left and right last night, in between freaking out because Gizmo wouldn't work. And when he came out, they said he, you know, cut a promo, laid the belt down and left. I was like, and I think that's when I texted you, either you or Eric. And I said, nope, it was for real.
Oh, yeah. No, and it's because I didn't see that it was real until this morning. I'm just like, I was like, I just sat there. I'm like, I don't know what those two fucking idiots were thinking when you guys posted that stuff. I'm sitting there, I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, I know, again, like, I know that they've pulled the wool over on us sometimes, but like I said, that was just, all of that was way too real. It's just like, why, if it's just going to be him retiring, why would there would be heels. Like, you even mentioned it in your lunch conversation. Why is he hugging Ziggler? And it's just like, no, I'm sorry. Like, if it was an angle to me, like, they're still even smart enough. Well, not maybe not smart enough, but they still hold back on getting the heels involved if it's something like that. It's just like, oh, sorry, dude, and it's just all the baby faces hanging around the person. So, I mean, there's still, like, some little hints that you're like, okay, yeah, no, 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 this is just a they're just playing us right now.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, a lot of my – I mean, I had doubts, not that many, but then when talking to Eric, he can be convincing. And so I tried to see the other side of it coming from his perspective, and I mean, I was still leaning on the fence that it was real, just because of the tears part, and then also the backstage part. Because I mean, it wasn't just Ziggler; it was Tyson Kidd, the Bella twins.
There were a couple of them. The Bellas were odd one because like he just kind of shook some people's hands. It's like, okay, maybe he's not as close to them as some of these other people. In the Canadian contingent, it didn't surprise me at all. Because, well, you know, they've got to stick together, even though they probably like all live in Florida at this point.
Yeah, I think that pretty much all of them do. I think half the wrestlers do, really.
Yeah.
No, was it no income tax?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So there's that. Is, and I started thinking about it, too. It's just like, oh, and that's when me and Morneau there, LaCroix24 on Twitter, him and I kind of bandied about a little bit there. It's just like, oh, because Edge talked about his test before WrestleMania. And I was like, oh, maybe this is why Christian was so heavy into this angle. And then on top of that, it's like, wow, his main event match was really short. Like, well, A, it was weird that it wasn't later in the show. It's just like, oh, well, maybe this is why they didn't do that, or why he didn't have a longer match. Maybe they're like, man, we think something's really screwed up, but let's wait to confirm it.
Right. Because if you notice, he didn't take a whole lot of bumps in that match. Looking back on it now, there were not a lot of bumps taken. I mean, there were some where he fell down, obviously, but not a lot. Not as much as a face usually takes.
No, he dominated a lot of that match.
Yeah. And also, I think that was an accurate description about Christian being in there. They had to position somebody else.
He was an insurance policy of, if things don't go right, we need to have someone who can step up. And honestly, right now, that was one thing Eric wanted to touch on. Like, on SmackDown, there just really aren't, you know, outside of Christian, I don't know if there's anyone to step up.
Just Ray. But that's not really stepping up.
Ray's
case, it's not.
Oh. Okay.
Well, no. I mean, all joking aside. No. On SmackDown, look at your face side. You've got Edge, you've got Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And Undertaker doesn't count because he's only around for 2 months now.
Yeah, and then the problem with Rey, too, is how many times has that guy been injured within the last 5 years?
He's still working with a bad wheel, too.
Yeah. I mean, you can't – and I think that's probably another reason why they've bumped him down a little bit is that they're not sure. They can't say, oh, okay, you have the title belt. Run with it. I mean, if you're going to get injured again or you're still in bad shape, then, you know, you can't really put him in that spot.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just looking at the face. I think it was telling, I guess it'll play out Monday more. I think it was telling that CM Punk didn't show up on the show at all. Nexus attacked Randy Orton. CM Punk wasn't out there. But I guess that's a different discussion. But
yeah.
And just with the SmackDown thing, he has to go to SmackDown. CM Punk's got to go over there now.
I don't know. I mean, that...
Just you, for star power.
Well, you said that, but I'm like, well, he's not a face.
No, but it's right now you need the star power. You got to have it. And they're not going to move Orton. They're not moving Cena. Triple H ain't going. well, you know, all right, I take it back. Maybe he will, but... Getting back to Edge, since we got off track here, it's a devastating loss for SmackDown.
Yeah,
the guy sold merchandise. You saw it at WrestleMania. He was selling merch because, as Eric says, his stuff doesn't look like wrestling shirts.
He's had some of the cooler stuff. And he even think, did he mention in an interview or something that, you know, he didn't have that whole babyface thing completely ironed out when he came back?
No, he did not.
And he was just kind of really getting into it. You know, he is really kind of rounding out, and he ends up with an injury. His career is over. It's just like, wow.
Yeah. Well, the one nice thing, I don't have it in front of me. I don't know what the disease was, but and Jim Ross pointed out in his barbecue blog, it's good to find that they have the technology, the medical means, and also the people to find this stuff, regardless of the cause. That's a totally separate argument.
Right.
It's good. This is a case of WWE taking care of one of its own.
Definitely. Yeah.
Regardless of the reasoning, they still stepped up, provided all of this stuff, which really hurts the independent contractor thing, but all right.
and that's a whole another conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to stay positive on it, but they found it, and they saved this guy from being in a wheelchair sooner than potentially he could be. I mean, if fluid's not getting into your spine, that can't be good.
Yeah, no, that sounds really bad.
Yeah. One thing that was funny to me, and this is, goes to Tough Enough, it rounds the conversation. They were showing Austin taking bumps in the ring.
Oh, for next week.
Yeah. Now, he supposedly has a horrible neck. But then he's taking bumps, so it's like, well, and I, this is a fan part of me. I don't think this is a work, all right? I don't think this is an excuse or anything, but can you see Edge being only 30, he's 38 actually, taking years off and coming back and doing a Kurt and potentially doing a Kurt Angle and going, blah, 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 I'm fine.
It's a possibility. I mean, they thought...
I mean, you can't say that right.
Didn't Michael say that he was done the first time around and then 4 years later?
But remember, there were other things involved with that, too.
Well, I wasn't into the news nearly as much at that point. So I will... Whatever...
Trust me, there were way other more things involved there.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. That's the only thing that I remember. But yeah, again, wasn't paying that much attention. I mean, it kind of depends because even Austin said that, he could come back for, a year sometime. You know, he felt like he could, if he really felt like it.
Yeah. I don't know. They've never really gotten into Austin's condition other than it's a bad neck.
Yeah.
But I mean, with Edge, they're being specific and it's a scary thing. I mean.
Yeah, no, and that's the other reason why I guess I thought that. I'm like, what are those two fucking idiots thinking? I'm like, man, that is serious. Like, when you're like, nah, my neck is really fucked up. My spinal cord has a gigantic problem. Yeah. It's just like, man, that's one of those ones that you just, you know, like knees and stuff. It's just like, whatever, you can probably take a chance because, well, you're going to be taking a chance pretty much doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
With that, you can pretty much avoid jarring your spine by not participating in wrestling pretty well.
There's a, Yeah, and that's when he was talking about going hiking and spending time with his dog and all that. I was like, eh, good for you. It's better than falling on your back all the time or diving into the second turnbuckle when you miss a spear, you know.
Yeah.
It's just more the abruptness of it.
Yeah, that is really shocking. And, I mean, that's why I didn't think it was real at first. I'm like, oh, they can't hype something like this little.
Yeah, and it was good to see that they're bringing something back on Friday for him to talk again, unless that was just for the crowd, because the whole time I was just waiting for Del Rio's music. Like, This isn't actually happening. Come on, where's his music? Or when he went up the stage, Del Rio was going to attack him. It didn't happen. I was like, all right, what's going on? That's it? And I was like, oh, my God, that was for real. And then they followed up with a commercial break, and I think that's what killed – and I think that's why they did it again on SmackDown, and I think it's another reason why they had Cena come out or after Raw was over, that video of him getting the crowd to cheer for Edge.
Yeah.
That's going to be the crowd shot they're going to use in the video package about him.
They're like, no, we're not screwing around. You know, it happened.
Yeah, because
– he's done.
They didn't – I mean – the crowd was doing the same thing probably the home audience was doing. Like, is Del Rio coming out here soon? Because, you know. So when it kind of dawned on, I'm like, well, holy shit, this is for real? And it was too late. So.
Right.
But, I don't know. It's just the abruptness and being like one of my personal faves. I mean, Edge. It's funny, if you look back, and I think I made this comment that it seemed kind of empty. His resume, but then once you start really digging into it, he's been a focal point of WWE for the last 10 years, starting as a tag team wrestler, but he's always been some sort of focal point.
Yeah, no, I mean, him and Christian, the Dudleys, and the Hardys are the last three tag teams to get any sustained real push in the WWE.
Yeah.
You know,
For more than a couple months, yes. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I guess that's what I meant by sustained. I mean, those guys were around for years as opposed to, you know, maybe 6 months. So, Yeah, there was a lot behind them. So, yeah, I mean, after they got their footing, really, after the whole Brood nonsense and whatnot. And even that, hey, I mean, they were still getting time. And if you didn't sense that he was still keeping part of gimmick live, I think you're pretty crazy. Like, he just kind of more did a tweaking to it than outright getting rid of it.
But he also had one of those things like Steve Austin did where, remember, they were trying to come up with like something cold for Steve Austin, like the Iceman or something like that. And I remember when Edge, like an interview he had where they wanted to give him all these different nicknames, and he was like, no, I'm gonna be the Rated R Superstar, and they said, well, you can't use that. So he went out there and did it anyways, and it just stuck ever since, almost like a very muff not muffed, but very muted Steve Austin sort of thing with Austin 316.
Oh, yeah.
He just went and did it anyways, and the merch money he's made off of that, I mean, good God. So,
yeah,
but it's just funny. If you really think about it, he's been a focal point for years, and he's almost like he was taken for granted. Oh, Edge, he'll always be around. Yeah, always good. Put him in this slot. We'll be good. Put him in this slot. We'll be good. I mean, how many times did we rave about Rey Mysterio Edge's in encounters? I mean,
really often. And, you know, I guess he never ended up coming up. I think one of the things that you didn't think about is that, like, even though those matches were really good, there was never that time where he really ended up with a ridiculous, like, you know, hands down 4-star match or something like that. So, and
well,
maybe that's why. Maybe he kept on getting these 3, 3.5s or something like that, and it's just like, oh, okay. Like, this guy is just consistently putting up good work,
Yeah. But here's the one thing you're forgetting too. He was in some four and a half star matches because Rey Mysterio was in it, Kurt Angle was in it, Chris Benoit was in it, Chavo back when he was actually decent, and Eddie. Those tag team matches?
Well, yeah.
Just all over, I mean.
And I guess that's, I was like, oh fuck, maybe I'm forgetting about some of the, well, and even that, the Terry Invitational tournament there that we saw up in Cleveland, and I turned around and started yelling at people. I'm like, how can you not be cheering for this match? And I just flipped out on a bunch of people around us. And I mean, you can literally like go back and see the video of the four of us idiots going nuts in the upper balcony and everybody else standing. You can't see our faces at all, but you can see four little figures up there just going bananas. And, yeah, I guess those kind of matches, too, were probably four star, and maybe I wasn't thinking of them in those terms at that point yet.
No, I wasn't either. But, no, it's those are the ones you remember. I mean, even – and it's going to sound dumb. I think we were just because we were freezing cold. His match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania 24? Yeah, 4.
Oh, yeah, because that was the show that closer.
Yeah, that was a good match, but we were freezing balls by the time that thing ended. Because it suddenly dipped down to 50 degrees in Orlando, Florida. The hell was that about?
Yes.
Yeah. So, we could go all night trading barbs on edge, but just a very jarring end.
I think we've been trading compliments on edge.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So. But, alright, so let's get the hell out of here. We talked for way longer than we usually do, actually.
No, I kind of figured that at some juncture. Even if we skipped the Scott Hall stuff, we would have gone on too long because I have a lot invested in Cross. We had a lot invested in especially you in Sweeney. And then Edge, well, and that's just another small note. Like, he was one of those guys that was a fresh face when I just started really watching again.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right. Well, this is also the first audio back after WrestleMania week, too, so.
Yeah, that probably doesn't help.
No. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to get out of here. Hopefully, you know, people stuck to the end. I'm going to throw that Larry Sweeney bumper at the end, so it'll come up in a minute or two, so. It's just for fun, really. It's not even for the stunt granny. So, take a listen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the, real quick. Thanks for all the site hits, visits, and all that, and comments during WrestleMania week. That's gotta be our most successful week ever. Outside of,
outside of putting up porn pictures, it was our best week ever.
Yeah, which we need some more divas to be doing that stuff again. So
yeah, I think we're shit out of luck in that department. It's just going to be those hussies from TNA.
Yeah, that's fine. So
yeah,
all right, but thanks, guys. The more exposure it gets, the more it makes it easier to do these things. So
No, so I'm gonna get out. Chill out.
Yeah, everybody, have a good night or a day, whatever time you're listening to this, and we'll get at you next time.
Okie doke, grandkids, it's time to grab a sippy time beer, and well, Jeremy's been cheering for goals, and I finally saw that the Penguins are up 2-0, so let's go Pens, and time for my sippy time beer.
This is 20-time ICW, ICWA, Texarkana Television Champion, Sweet and Sour, Larry Sweeney, and you're listening to what is undoubtedly not the worst podcast out there, The Audio Experience.